Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 929 FM 680 AM. But now, not only are we streaming on the Odyssey app, where it's free to download, free to listen, you can even listen on demand. We're also streaming live on the TuneIn and iHeartRadio app. So just about anywhere you can stream live content, we are there. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. Is today a day of grieving?
Why would we be grieving?
R.I.P. Red Zone.
We'll talk about it. I tend to not grieve on these things because I can sniff and go, oh, that's where this is headed. Like, I just know.
You've been expecting this.
Well, it's when you give the commissioner inch, he takes a mile. Like, that's just the way that it is. When it started off with, hey, we're just going to do this Visa commercial right at the beginning. Okay, you're just conditioning us. You bad, bad man. My company is, he is every Wednesday. He is the MC of Fun and Games here in the Memphis area. He's the host of Writer Than Right Trivia, where tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. on the Jeff Calkins Show, we will have tickets to the Mid-South Fair. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. You can follow him on X, the Everything app, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
The fair is in the air. What's up, Jeffrey?
The fair is indeed in the air. I was thinking about this.
Go ahead.
When's the last time you went to the fair?
I don't recall. I was trying to make plans to go this year, you know? And it's always which one you're going to go to. And
so have you been
I
with your daughter?
I've not. So I that's why I would consider to go, to take her to experience a fair while they're still a thing, which I think they will be for the rest of our lives in some capacity.
Yeah, so Liberty Land closes in what, 05? Is that about right?
I mean, that sounds about right. The Mid-South Fair went on for...
I feel like the last time I went to the fair was like eighth grade, which would have been like 2000, 2001.
I mean, one of the greatest traditions.
And I used to go every year,
one of the greatest, yeah, like, Tiger football traditions,
yeah,
was
the fair game.
The fair game. The fair game was one of the greatest. Fair day at school was one of the greatest traditions to get out
of
school.
I totally forgot
that
now you mentioned that. We had Mid-South Fair Day.
Yeah, you get out for the fair.
Yeah.
That one extra for the fair.
Wow, what a...
I mean, I'd rather have a week-long fall break and a week off for Thanksgiving
they're still doing all right.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well.
They seem to still be getting their fair days off. But yeah, no, we did used to have Mid-South Fair Day. That is a pull I did not think of for a while. Let's say what we got coming up on the program. We will discuss the news that, indeed, it is officially an unofficial basketball game. The Memphis Tigers and the Arkansas Razorbacks will be playing in the Hoops for St. Jude Tip-Off Classic. That is going to be October the 27th. That will be about, as Kevin pointed out off the air, about 5 weeks after the Tigers and Hogs will battle on the football field in a game that definitely will count. So we'll discuss that. Also, we got our first look at the Tiger football team on Saturday. And we've got to discuss what Pablo Torre found out now. Does it even matter? Now I'm seeing Cubans weighed in.
Oh, he has.
So we can definitely add that. I need to probably file that one away.
Did he decide to invest in that company, that fake company?
This is basically.
Yeah.
Here's the opening sentence. I'm on Team Ballmer. As much as I wish they could, as much as I wish they circumvented the salary cap, first, Steve isn't that dumb. If he did try to feed Kawhi Leonard money, knowing what was at stake for him personally and his team, do you think he would let the company go bankrupt? Knowing all creditors would be visible to the world. Well, did he know the company was going to go bankrupt when he made the plan?
Right. Yeah.
We can discuss that.
It's complicated. It's
maybe the newest fraternity of a true fraternity of rich people, NBA owners. Glad to see that they're taking up for one another. So we'll discuss that. We'll get into the TV timeout. As George has mentioned, we will have 7 hours of red zone football, not 7 hours of commercial free football, starting this Sunday when Scott Hansen will kick off the red zone for week one. We'll get into a few other things. We've got our Manning cast listed as well. We'll get into the list. Then CJ Hurt's going to join us as he does during the second hour each and every Wednesday. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. All right, let's do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Kevin, in light of the events of yesterday, buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit, Memphis and Arkansas will play a home-and-home series while John Calipari is the head coach, is the Hogs head coach.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. I miss buying into the BS from Calipari, so I'm going to start doing it again, right? It was a good
It's a simpler time. You just feel really nostalgic, like I'm just going to go back.
Yeah, I like it. I'm watching
it was a good time, man.
Watching Cal speak, and he's got that mesmerizing, great presence, so charismatic. He says the right thing all of the time. I miss believing in it. And I'm back in it, right? Because he's back on Memphis society saying these great things about Memphis. He's making us believe even more that this was the right time, right? We both agree that this was the time for Memphis versus Arkansas to a Calipari's welcome home event. We thought it was the right time. But, like, somehow Calipari gets on the microphone yesterday, convinces me even more so how this is the right time. You know, after the summer that we have had about leases and not getting into conferences – And like, you know, it's been a downer of a summer for Memphis. Like, there's no better time to bring back John Calipari and celebrate something great and remind people that things can be great here. The timing is right for this game. I'm excited. It's finally been announced. The worst kept secret in Memphis sports and college basketball is that the St. Jude game was going to happen between Arkansas and Memphis. We officially have the date now, October 27th. And so now, of course, the questions were asked yesterday, and that's where you just asked me. So will we get a home-and-home with Arkansas and Memphis? And I'm believing. Like I said, I want to believe Calipari says it's under consideration. Then you know what? I'm going to believe Calipari BS.
There were a couple of things that you mentioned there. I did find myself wondering, is he, like, the best talker ever? Because
yes, and what's great about this whole thing too, we get to see Calipari next to Ed Scott, right? Because Scott is I've already declared the best talker in Memphis athletics since Calipari. There's nobody that comes close, right? And
we haven't exactly had any chatterboxes, right? I guess Mike,
but I mean, you'd be able to command and convince, and
like Mike was visible. But
Pastor talked a lot. We're gonna get his homecoming this year too, but
yeah.
There's been some people
true.
Who have talked a
no,
lot. But yeah. I mean, people who should be talking a lot, whose job it is to do, and this is the problem, we don't want to spin it off, we'll talk Tiger football later, but like, and I know Silverfield is coming on Game Show now every week, but like, I feel like we need that right now for the football program. We need somebody out there convincing us that how great things are going to be. But you know, Calipari, it's great to see him back in Memphis for this press conference. It's going to be great for the homecoming. And I do think, I said I bought this just to realize, as long as he does not get booed, which I do not think he will, at FedEx Forum at a charity game for St. Jude, at this point in the city's history, I don't think he's going to get booed. But as long as he doesn't get booed, I think he comes back. I think he's waiting. I think he's really wants to feel what's the reception going to be like. And does he feel comfortable? Does he feel at home? Does he like the idea of being back here? Because there's nowhere else he can go back to right now. He's not going back to Kentucky. He can go back to UMass.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I was also thinking this yesterday. Do you think it's coincidence that he was willing to do it this year after he did Kentucky? And granted, the Kentucky game, he doesn't get to have any say. The SEC said, you're going to play at Kentucky this year.
Right. And yeah, exactly.
But I think the fact that he was able to, because obviously that one's fresher and that one is still.
He's going to get his baby face pop in Memphis. And after getting booed, like, yeah, I think he kind of needs it, wants it to a degree. Because, you know, money can buy you a lot. It can buy you some great rosters. And whether you win with them or not is another question. But money can buy you a nice home.
You spend to win here, Kevin.
Right. But he can't buy the cheers, right? That's something he's got to get. And if he can, and as Memphis, I can see us, like, we always talk, there's a wrestling town, right? It's a wrestling town. And constantly, you know, people are getting educated who don't know anything about wrestling, like George here on the other side of the glass, and about, you know, heels and baby faces. And we love heels, right? And we love, but one thing you like is that heel who turns baby face. Like, that is one of the greatest things in wrestling. Like, to turn back, right? This is the time for him to turn back. Like, this is...
So this is Austin Hart.
We're so used to wrestling where, like, it's not necessarily a double turn, but yeah, so we're, yeah, you're talking about...
I've decided as time has gone on, I'm done with Bret Hart. Like, every time every time he talks, I'm just like, I thank you for your service, your body, everything, but I'm good.
I'm just getting started with Bret Hart. I like that he is a veteran that will speak his mind and is not afraid of, you know, not getting a job with WWE and not getting paid by WWE. So I respect that.
It's just like
he's had a hard career, Jeffrey. You know, his brother died in the ring. His career died at the hands of Goldberg in a terrible accident that could have been prevented.
Because
Goldberg's, you know, is what he is. So I cut Brett some slack. He's the excellence of execution. The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Mm. Even though I was Team Shawn, so I'm Shawn Michaels' team. So
that's the other problem.
I love how we can get in a side quick wrestling debate amongst it all.
Name something he did better than Shawn.
Name something he did better than Shawn. I mean, he was a better babyface than Shawn. I mean, Shawn is so that's a big thing. So like Bret Hart came across more as the, I would say the, you know, All American good guy, but he's a Canadian. But you know, the babyface that could give the sunglasses to the crowd. Shawn never really was a believable babyface.
Yeah, but it's like
at his peak.
But
at
his babyface run is also like the era in which the anti-hero was kind of.
He helped develop it.
Yeah.
You know, he helped develop, you know, you have to have the antagonist. He was great at being babyface in Canada and a heel in the United States. He did some stuff. I mean, that's what Calipari is, right? He's a heel still in Lexington, Kentucky.
I think he's a
heel
almost.
For whatever reason. Like, they were running him out of town anyway. And that's what helps me even become, like, more of a babyface as I see him, right? Like, they were running him out of Lexington. It's like, dude, y'all stole him from us. We never would have fired John Calipari, no matter how many... NCAA violations and infractions that would have been, you know, slapped on him. We never would have run him out of town. There was no scenario that he was going to get run out of town. None.
No, absolutely not. No,
and
if Memphis would have given him a lifetime contract, it literally would have been a lifetime contract.
Yeah,
Kentucky gave him a lifetime contract and basically fired him.
So, I mean, to me, that also helps his the appeal. And I mean, like I said, he's a great promo. He's a great promo.
I think he's the best character in the sport. I know people will fixate on Hurley. He's flavor of the week.
No, if you told me, like, you could pick any coach in college basketball to be the Memphis coach, I still would pick Calipari. I used to say that when he was here. I was like, this is the one guy. I wouldn't want anybody else. But I still think, like, yeah, why not have Calipari till he retires? Last year, he proved he could still do something.
I don't.
If anything, he can sell tickets.
I mean, that's it. Like, to me, like, that was.
Isn't that what we're here for?
Like, we talked about it when it happened. That return to Rupp was must watch.
Yes.
And like the way that when he comes out, he's greeting the crowd and he's shaking hands behind the bench and Pope standing right there. And then Patino earlier in the week was like, don't boo him. He's like, it's like, okay, Rick, we know what you're doing here. Like, you tell people not to boo him, they'll boo louder. Like, that's just the way it is. But like, I was just thinking about it in the terms of so many of these people are salesmen.
Yes.
He's the best. Like, who else is even in his league?
And can do it so well. And so, like, I watched his press conference and went to Arkansas, you know, over a year ago. And he...
God, when he refused to call the Hogs. Oh, my God. It was amazing. I'm not doing that. Like...
But he's so great. Like, on the person, like, he does things, and yeah, you sure you question a lot of what he says or what he does, and that's fine, and because you know, you kind of need to.
There's always with Cal storyteller perspective.
Right. But he sells tickets. He's going to sell. This is going to be a sellout to this. This game is for sure going to be a sellout at FedEx Forum. And without Cal, like Memphis versus Arkansas, it's one of those rivalries like Memphis has none in conference now. And it's a regional rivalry that went away in part because of people like John Calipari who did not want to play that game. They didn't want Arkansas to come in to Memphis, you know, put a fence around the territory here. And this is Memphis. You can't come in here and recruit in my backyard. And the Arkansas game ends up getting, you know, scratched from the schedule. But here we are. The Arkansas football team is coming. Why can't we?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. Should Memphis try to foster the relationship with Arkansas? Because one thing I'll give Arkansas credit, they're making a lot of historic changes that they've really never backed down on. They're playing Arkansas State. They used
huge.
To not do that.
It's huge. Like, yes, that's huge.
And they are the team that has been willing, again, they have not canceled the series yet. They're willing to play in football. I know Mississippi State does the same thing. I'm not trying to say Arkansas is above Mississippi State, but it
well,
seems
I mean,
to
they
me.
Are. I mean, as far as quality of a football team, everybody's above Mississippi State right now. But go ahead. Quality on the field? We're going to find out.
I think
is this a Memphis? Are you picking Memphis to win this game?
Oh, no. I think State's not that bad this year. Oh.
You don't think they're going to be at the bottom of the SEC? Is this
well,
your big takeaway from the weekend?
That's the problem. I think that they are significantly better. I don't know if it's going to matter.
It doesn't matter in the SEC.
Correct.
All right.
But, like, when you watch them, you're like, they look like a team that would beat last year's team by two touchdowns, if not more.
That's fair.
Like, that's kind of the other thing.
But so you're saying Arkansas is...
There seems to be
willing
more...
to negotiate now. And right, Calipari, he's acting like he misses Memphis. He loves Memphis. He cares about Memphis. That's like the... Like, either he did his research before this thing... Like, this is where the respect is for Calipari is. Like, either way, there's respect. He either did research and figured out and knows exactly... Or he's been paying attention... Or he does care. Like, it's either one, and either one's great. Like, in his position, he needs to...
Well, there's also an element of...
Know what's going...
Who cares
what it is. Going on. Either one
like,
of them are great,
it was effective either way. Like, either...
If he really cares about Memphis, awesome. If he doesn't, he at least cared enough to look like he cared about Memphis, and that's kind of caring about Memphis, however you want to look at it. So,
I do think this is probably the closer to whatever the answer is, because he's one of the most... complex individuals, I think, that's like come across our psyche, because he really is the guy that, like, whatever you say about him, good or bad, is true. Like, all the generosity stuff that he's done, it's all true. Like, the vindictiveness, it's all true. But I do think when he was here, you have to remember his career wasn't over, but it was like he needed Memphis and Memphis needed him, and it was a good right. It was a good relationship for both. And he gets the Kentucky job from Memphis. So I do think he also built a lot of relationships with a lot of people, some that are here, some that are not. And I do think that it still matters to him.
I do. His kids grew up here, and he has like this, this was an important part of his life. He wasn't really mad at Memphis. He was just moving on. You know, this was like... To the bigger job. So we were the ones who were upset when he left. He wasn't upset, right? He wasn't upset. He was just ready to go to the next job.
I think he... I think he viewed it like the way that... It's weird. I do think in the... I think in like the... whatever now. What are we? 17 years now since?
Right.
Or 16 years, right? It was the spring of 2009. So literally, there are kids now, if you want to be really depressed... There are kids now that were born during that season that can drive. So that puts into perspective how long it's been. But I do think that in that time frame, we've now started to realize this is all a business. Like it almost feels like the.
I mean, for so long ago that Calipari, Memphis gave, you know, Calipari that other shot, right, when he came here. Like, this was his big opportunity to have a comeback. But I feel like that those opportunities are more available to coaches today than they would have been back then for however, whatever reason. Like, I think he...
It's interesting.
If he was looking for a job after being fired from the NBA and all that, like, I feel like he probably would have easily found a better landing spot.
So he did have the advantage of, okay, his flameout was the NBA, but his flameout was not at a college program. And so typically what we see is when...
I mean, look, Saban flamed out in the NFL and got a job in Alabama.
But that's
right?
My point. It's like, yeah. No one in college football, when Saban flames out with the Dolphins, no one's sitting there going, oh, well, the game's passed him by. It's like, no, he can go back to college and do it. Same thing with, like, remember when Chip Kelly came back from the NFL and it was the arms race between Florida and UCLA and he picks UCLA, everybody's like, well, he's back in college. Like, that's where he belongs. I do think with him, there's an element of that. The guys that now flame out, it seems like they're also, everyone's a little more attuned into, no one waits to get fired anymore. Everyone now takes the other, like, use Andy Enfield, for example. Enfield was not getting fired at USC, but he was like a year away from maybe getting fired.
Right. It's Cal leaving Kentucky
Correct.
For Arkansas.
Exactly. Everybody's doing that move now more so than just getting absolutely canned.
So they get, because that's, you look bad on the, it looks bad on the resume.
Well, it's usually a couple things.
But Cal's the perfect one who could rally the troops of and get the new fan base excited. I mean, just think of what a situation he just went from Lexington to Arkansas.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the other, and I think maybe what you're correct about is that now, if you are if you're like, I don't know, I wouldn't want to say Arkansas was like a struggling brand. Like, Arkansas has always been this unique thing to me of like, I honestly thought they'd be better in this era because there's so much corporate money and whatnot, right. But maybe they haven't figured out the right way to bring it all together and to package it. But, you know, you're the biggest school.
Walmart written on the court yet or not?
Well, I mean, on top of that, like, Walmart requires every major vendor that has a company to have an office in Bentonville. So, like, you have all of this corporate money up there.
Yeah.
And it's this weird thing now where it's like schools will hire the coach with the name to get the pop because they think that juices the money, which is probably true. And I think with Cal, I think it can work. But now you're starting to question, like, what we just saw on Monday night. Is anybody, like, I felt like the Belichick thing was going one of two ways. We were either going to wake up and realize, like, hey, man, this was the best coach of all time coaching college football. Like, it's not that hard. Or we were going to see, hey, man, this is a completely different world. You can't just essentially say, I had Tom Brady for 20 years and think that you're just going to go in and run this world. And it looks like now we're closer to that. So where I give Cal credit is he is still, I think he's still better at it than he gets credit. Like, better at the whole program thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think he is. But the Belichick comparison is fascinating. it is, because he couldn't get hired in the
NFL. Did y'all see?
And he's going to North Carolina. It's not like he's going to the best college football program by any means.
Arkansas is a basketball program is infinitely beyond what North Carolina football is.
Yeah.
Like, did y'all see the press conference?
I was comparing more to Calipari getting fired from the Nets and the NBA and come into Memphis, right? Like Belichick falling in North Carolina. There's,
well, like, some Kentucky stuff to Arkansas.
Not that Cal's the greatest basketball coach of all time. So anyway.
Let's think about this. Kentucky to Arkansas, see if y'all buy this. In my head, I'm thinking it's like having the Florida State job.
Okay.
Let's say it's like having the Florida job and then finishing with the Auburn job. Like, I don't think it's that far of a drop.
I think that's fair. Man, people in the great state of Alabama would not be happy about that comparison, but I think...
Well, I mean, listen, they're all coming to grips with it. It's like, where are they in this world?
If it's John Calipari, because I think Calipari is going to be able to possibly, you know, figure out what it's going to take to get Arkansas on track, at least that money-wise. Like, you were talking about what Ed Scott has done here in Memphis for the past year. Like, Calipari, he runs the show.
Oh, yeah.
And so what needs to be fixed behind the scenes at Arkansas to make them successful, Calipari is going to make sure that that money and that is going to be positioned in the right way. I feel like he's the right leader that you would want to make sure Arkansas is on that level as Kentucky. Because before, and there's been periods of time where they were just as, you know, stretches where he felt like Arkansas was going to be on the same level as Kentucky for always and ever, forever and always.
In 1994, there was a real question of, would you rather have the, like, because that's it, like, before Pitino really wins the title, there's the idea of, like, you know, they're cycling through coaches, and there's the idea of, like, Nolan had it rolling. It's like, would you rather have the Arkansas job or the Kentucky job?
Right. And right, think, would you rather have Kentucky or Arkansas on the Memphis basketball schedule every year? Which one would you rather have?
Well, it's like, would I rather have the Kentucky, Mark Pope's Kentucky?
Mm-hmm.
Or would I rather
current
have...
Current status right now, it's Arkansas, right? Because of Calipari.
I think you have to say.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
But also,
I don't,
that one does that. There's that regional rivalry that could.
I can't remember if I've said it on this show. Also,
foster again in this environment.
I don't like what Kentucky's doing. Mark Pope seems like a legitimately likable guy.
Yes,
I do not like having the Kentucky coach be likable. Like, I want
You're
it to be a
that.
True greaseball. Like, I want the Pitinos of the world.
Right.
I want the Cals of the world. Like, I want the guys that are like mobbed up. That's who I want.
Yeah, and then you have to be like, even the Billy Gillespie's of, like, just like a bad used car salesman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the guy from, like, Texas that couldn't make it in, at, you know, at his dad's Chevy dealership.
So you can, yeah, just look at this guy.
Yeah.
Like, is it The Simpsons? Is it that got the character, the guy, like, I don't know. It's, Gillespie reminds me of that. But anyway, I think it's exciting. I hope it leads to that. We know we at least get this one game. And the St. Jude game, which just goes the power of the game to raise money for St. Jude, but also really how can it, and I think Ed Scott's on top of this, like how can this game benefit Memphis? He knows he's not getting really money from this because that money's going to St. Jude, but can you benefit by building these relationships? And this has started the conversation with Arkansas that would possibly not be happening if this game did not exist, which is a fairly new part. Hopefully, it's going to continue to be an annual Tiger basketball tradition. So it opens that door in that relationship where Memphis is talking consistently with power conference teams. Because, I mean, it's going to be a game against Memphis against a not necessarily blue blood, but a high level college basketball team every year, the St. Jude game. And that is an important thing that Memphis can do now while they're on this side of the fence in this conference is. These small things and like making this game successful is very important.
All right. I think I'll buy it too. Part of my hang up is I do, like you say, kind of wonder like, all right, are we falling for it?
I mean,
I will say this. I've watched enough of his press conferences to know when he's brushing aside a question.
Yeah.
I felt more like we'll see was kind of like, stay tuned.
Oh, because that is the
parsing
that's a
through
great,
the yeah. parsing through the Cal, and this is a man that I've studied.
Yes.
And what? Again, I don't bat 1,000 because he's the greatest talker of all time. I felt like it was closer to like, stay tuned.
That is it because you do. There's the brush off questions at press conferences from coaches. You get the ones where they don't want to answer the question. And then there's the stay tuned, and they don't want to, can't answer the question. Right?
Yeah.
Like they can't really answer the question. They don't have the answer yet. They don't want to reveal too much. And so it's the stay tuned answer versus the, I'm not answering. I have no business.
And
I'm
like
not ever going to tell you.
To me,
I don't want to disappoint you. I'm not going to answer
the
question.
The way that I took it is there was.
He needs to get cheered.
It felt like,
he has to get cheered. He has to get cheered. Not just not booed. He has to get cheered. Which he will.
Or I think he would deal with playful booing. The kind of booing, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like when there was that period of time with Cena, like where we kind of had respectful boos, but it was almost like we were booing because we that just kind of felt like what we wanted to do, but like,
so we're gonna go. Let's go, John. Cal sucks. Let's go, John. Cal sucks. We're gonna get those chants going on. Nobody's gonna be cheering. We're not supposed to cheer for him throughout the game. It's just like he's gonna be introduced.
Speaking of which, that match on Saturday.
A welcome. Yeah.
In Paris.
The class.
Say
in
what
Paris.
You want about Cena. Guy's going out on top. Like, he's putting out some bangers.
He is. No, he is.
History's being kind to my boy Cena. Got no problem being a super Cena guy from all these years. All right, buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. After getting a look at the Tiger football team, you feel better about the season.
Well, I would say, as of now, I sell that a little bit. I sell it. I want to. I haven't lost the belief that you always convince me at this time of year. You know, we get in August. You spend a lot of August convincing me. All right, the playoffs are going to happen. I'm making my plans.
I don't tell you the Tigers are going to the playoffs. I do tell you, and this. So I'll jump in here. I'm buying, but it has nothing to do with what I watched from the football team. The football team ran up and down an inferior opponent. Congratulations, you did what you're supposed to do.
Did they score enough for you? What was the spread?
I think they covered. It was like 28.
So as long as they cover,
they covered. FCS games are weird. It's low limits. You can't bet it till the day of. Like, the numbers fluctuate.
Well, you know, I'm watching every game. I think Tigers need to be blowing everybody out.
Yeah.
So anyway, continue.
But they put the game away early.
They did do that.
And
it was never.
I think on most of their opponents, they're going to be able to run the football. The one that I am worried about, I'm not sure they're going to be able to run the ball in Tulane. But what I felt the best about after this weekend is what I'd been trending towards. I think the three legitimate playoff contenders are all in the American, and I think that's going to work out. The Mountain West.
So Boise.
Bad.
Boise seems to almost have eliminated themselves very early.
Yeah, it's
and
one of
those
ones.
That's the type of college football people love. People love the college football where high stakes, you can lose a game on the first Thursday of the season.
Technically, they can't
be done.
They could have.
Your chances are gone. The people complaining about that element of college football, it still exists here for these.
Yeah, it just exists for like the team, the lower level teams. Yes. Like, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, the people that can't lose games. Like, I think it's also fair to say they can erase what they did by winning at Notre Dame. I want to be very clear.
Right.
The team that I watched in South Florida can't win at Notre Dame.
It's going to be easier for Memphis to win at home against Arkansas.
Correct.
By far.
Correct. By a wide stretch of magic.
Yeah.
Now, if I have to specifically say what was it that I watched on Saturday with the Tigers that makes me feel better about the season, then I would have to sell it. Because it's like there's nothing. Like, I'm not
saying.
But
they did what they were supposed to do, which is what Silverfield has kind of been doing, which we need more, right? We need more. And Saturday's fine. There's not much more he could have done. He could have scored, 50 more points, sure. But, like, he did what he had to do. They didn't lose. I'm just, the fans are obviously, I'm not going to, we're going to look at ticket sales and all that. It was not the largest crowd, which is only an indicator to me are the fans believing. It's not whether or not they're supporting. It's whether they are believing in what's happening.
I want to flag this because I think this is something we should monitor. We obviously can't use Clemson on Saturday night as an example, or use Ohio Stadium on Saturday afternoon as an example, or the artist, I think it's still technically known as Doak Campbell, but they might be financing that through definitely a credit card company. But I think in general, we need to start monitoring attendance as a barometer, because what I think is, I think we're just ahead, we being Memphis.
Yeah.
I'm really keeping track of, man, this stuff keeps, the price keeps going up and up and up and up. And I think that everyone wants to say, like, well, you should support your team. It's like, man, the cost is getting to the point where it's like out of whack of what, like, yes, prices go up. But I'm telling you, if you put this stuff on a chart, historically right now, we're at a high. And it makes sense why we're at a high. Professionally, we're at a high because people are paying more for franchises than ever before. And guess what? Really rich people try to recoup their investments. So those prices keep going up. In college, we're trying to fund the teams. So these prices keep going up. And then we're trying to fund
expansions, or we're trying to, you know, whatever we need facility-wise to get into a new conference. And it's just not, like, I'm never saying that you never had to, like, think about spending money to go to a game, but it's not like this where you're, like, truly having to make a financial decision of, all right, are we really buying these tickets?
Right, especially I don't know what the prices are for a Memphis football game, but I mean, it is.
I'm not saying one individual game. I am talking about if you buy the season tickets, yeah, with the donation, like all the things you have to
for
get.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like all of that.
Oh, I know. You've been on top of the idea. This is only going to get worse for college athletics because you have to donate and buy the tickets and the prices keep going up. And like the idea that, I mean, this isn't Costco or Sam's Club. Like you have to pay to even get a chance to buy something else.
Right. We're not paying to get cost.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like whatever we're getting at Costco, like cost plus 10, whatever it is.
Yeah. But we got.
Had a delightful Sam's run on Saturday.
I
know your boy loves a good warehouse trip. Ooh, instant savings.
But I'm not judging that, you know, you're selling, but this weekend didn't do anything for me for Memphis football. It's going to take a few weekends unless they screw up, and then it's really going to do something. Like, you're playing Georgia State, you got Troy, which is a danger game, to quote Calipari, on this schedule, and before you get back here to Arkansas later this month when they start really playing, what's the real competition? South Florida's no real competition this year. Arkansas, South Florida, and Tulane, there's three games.
Navy's a real game.
At the end. Yeah. Navy's always.
The biggest reason I feel better is the American had a very good week one.
And so if Memphis can win the conference, they can win that spot in
Correct.
The college football.
That gives you the leg
like,
up.
This could be the year. And because to me, I you know, I'm very vocal on the radio. It's not going to matter to me if they make the championship game and lose. And it's not really going to matter if they make the championship game and win to me. And I don't think it's going to matter to most people. I don't think it's going to move the needle and all of a sudden make new Tiger football fans in this market. But if they make the college football playoffs, if they have an undefeated season, those are the type of things that can really move the needle and new Tiger football
fans. Or if you even do
fans.
Like what they did, you know, the Peach Bowl year, or the Cotton
right,
Bowl years.
One
like,
day.
Yeah,
if they're the best. But
Temple's not on the schedule, right?
Temple, not on the schedule. No, I don't think, no Temple.
Because Temple looked Temple looked aggressively feisty.
And the thing is, the great thing about the schedule, if they can win in Arkansas later this month, as I skip over some of these, I do think Detroit is like somewhat of a danger game because that's on the road, right? And then
I'll say this. I'm flagging the Rice game as a real trap game. Rice has moved to like an option attack and they've hired a new coach. They beat Louisiana
Halloween
Lafayette.
Night. Halloween night.
But it's also
too,
sandwiched between the South Florida and the Tulane home games.
Yes,
that is the definition of a trap game. If Rice continues to look like they're better,
then Memphis gets. But there's a way the schedule breaks out outside of that South Florida game.
Also
right?
at ECU the
you
week
have Tulane
after
and Navy
Tulane.
In you know yeah I mean there's a lot of, but for this schedule they do have a lot of trap games considering they aren't really playing anybody.
But they are getting what is going to be their toughest games at home.
So who am I watching? I need help with this, Jeffrey, every weekend. I know the fans tuning in, the people who are believers in Memphis Tiger football and the ones who want to be. Like this, if Memphis has a path on here on September 3rd, they still have a chance to make the college football playoffs. And we're going to talk about it here on the radio every time I'm on because I really want to focus on what we need to look at and what we need to be concerned about here. This week, Memphis playing Georgia State. That's on the road as well, right?
Correct.
We're going to Georgia.
Jonah,
we're going to the state of Georgia.
Jonah Dillon of the Commercial Appeal has a great story about how that wound up. It's like three different ADs. I highly recommend people go read that over at commercialappeal.com. I mean, I think the good thing is now you can really like narrow it down.
It's South Florida,
there's
Memphis.
Four teams. It's Boise, South Florida, Tulane, and you. And you get to play two of them, and Boise already lost to one of the other ones.
So you control your own destiny.
I can tell you this: if the Tigers go undefeated, they are in the playoff.
But that's often possibly true for any of those four teams, right?
So the difference though is South Florida has to play both Miami and Florida. They get Florida this weekend.
They get both of them. Correct. So that's like there's just
So that's in their
no way.
Three of their first four games were Boise.
But you hope they win one of them.
I think they already won the one that I wanted them to win.
Well, yeah, that was the best one for them.
I mean, if you're
here's if you have to pick which one, that's the one you want to win.
If you're a Tiger football fan,
yeah.
Here's what you want.
Why are they playing each other, by the way?
Well, for South Florida, it's big because they will occasionally give them a home game.
Okay.
So they can sell some tickets. But if you're a Tiger football fan, you wanted South Florida to beat Boise, knock them out, and now—
I mean, that was the best case scenario of anything from the
entire
weekend.
And now it's go Gators,
Tigers,
go Canes.
Yeah. All right. So let's see it. Let's see it. That's what's exciting. So Memphis got to keep getting the job done. They covered the spread against Chattanooga. I guess that's all I can ask is at least win, but I want you to cover. Is that fair, Jeffrey?
Yes, no, it's a standard. Cover some spreads. Good teams win, great teams cover. All right, speaking of things that are not exciting, it's the NFL news about Red Zone. We'll talk about it next during the TV timeout. Stick around, Mr. Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including ARC. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Kevin's dream may be coming true. We'll be talking about that during the list. But before we do that, all right, boys. I don't like to say I told you so, but just this once.
Just one time, this is going to be it.
Sam Newman from Awful Announcing. Scott Hansen practiced his new catchphrase on the Pat McAfee Show on Wednesday. Quote, "Ladies and gentlemen, it's been more than 250 days since the first NFL Sunday, but we're back. And 7 hours of Red Zone football starts now." Notice what's missing? The words that made Red Zone famous for 16 seasons. Quote, "commercial free." Sam, these words were not uttered at the end of last year. Quote, "I realize that might be a slight change to some of you, but that's what the catchphrase will be going forward." Back in December, according to Awful Announcing, Red Zone broke its sacred promise during week 15. Hansen apologized a few days later, admitting he was conflicted about using his famous catchphrase when he knew the ads would run. Quote, "I made the wrong decision and I'm sorry," he said in a video. That was
such a bizarre moment in time. When he was literally like doing like a prison photo, like a prison video, like just that, like somehow he was the one that made the decision.
Business folks handle this business, and I have no say over different elements that could or could not be in the show.
We're not going to sacrifice any great football for any of the business side of it. Well, by definition, we technically are. The business folks are going to handle the business and will play the hand that's dealt to us, but we will not miss a touchdown. We will not say, okay, this is first and goal from the five, but let's sell some pizza or pick up trucks. So we are going to have commercial breaks. Duh. This would be my other point. I would like to submit another exhibit of ESPN derangement syndrome. And I want to be clear. This is when you know, like, up is down. I have a laundry list of complaints with how ESPN operates. Mm-hmm. Everyone's immediate reaction was, the ESPN's already ruined the red zone. Y'all, they do not legally even have the rights to the red zone yet. It's entirely possible the Department of Justice says this merger can't go through.
Right.
Now, is it likely? Probably not. But it can. Like, they do not own it. This is not airing on the ESPN app. We don't even know if it's airing next year. But this is the classic, we need to get our pitchforks out at the right bad guy. And the right bad guy is Goodell.
Well, my question is, so yeah, they I think they got to put commercials in order to charge you for the commercial-free edition of Red Zone, right? So can you get, is there going to be an upcharge down the line? Hey, get commercial-free Red Zone for this amount of money. The commercial's got to be there before they can start that.
Love where your head's at.
Yeah.
Little NFL Plus action.
Again,
yeah.
I love where your head's at. I'm going to say not applicable because I don't think it's like going to be.
And they just, they're still going to do split screens, right? Is that what the commercials are? They're not going to away from them.
I'm thinking they're going to do commercial breaks, but that will be the. So yeah. To your point, when he tossed to the Visa commercial last year, was it split screen?
I mean, I know there was some.
There was some split screen stuff that was more, I felt like more like, what do we call it? Like cross marketing, where it's like, I think the Visa commercial, we sent it to the full screen Visa commercial. But I do not think this is going to be a situation where you could have the ad free version versus the ad, because I think they're going to go straight up to a commercial break.
And see, that to me, I feel like it's such a valuable brand at this point, Red Zone. Why can't they do the presented without commercial interruption by Lexus or whoever, right? And just have that at the beginning and then have their logo on the screen said presenting with, you know, no commercial interruptions. You watch a commercial at the beginning and the end, and then they have their logo pop up. And why are they not selling that? It seems
so
like
really
they'd be
able
to get a deal like that.
I can only think of one major sporting event that does that. It's the Masters. Now, it's also important that the Masters is not making a bunch of money off the TV broadcast. But what the Masters also has the advantage of is, like, every rich guy in the country is a member at Augusta National. So you have the, this hour is presented with limited commercial interruption by our good friends at Mercedes-Benz and IBM.
Right.
And, by the way, it turns out, like, both CEOs are members. So they do that move. But I think this is just what's going to happen because, to me, this is always, this is why, like, even being a free market capital guy, this is where I'm really having, like, struggles internally because we are, for the sake of making everyone else even more money, we are screwing the consumer.
For sure.
Because in the end, what is happening? All these TV networks are overpaying for properties and everything's overvalued. They're either overpaying for a franchise or they're overpaying for the rights to broadcast the franchise. What's going to happen, and I've always used the example of golf. When I saw golf get their last TV deal, I was like, that is entirely too much money for golf, for how many people actually watch it. What in turn happened was we got a broadcast that was loaded with commercials, and they kept telling us that we don't understand TV. No, we've been watching the same product for 15 years. Your product's different now. This is exactly what's going to happen. Everybody is overpaying to have the rights to the NFL. How do you make it up? You're going to make it up with revenue. Now, to your point, which I actually think would be a fascinating psychological case study,
all right.
I find myself now, if you are granted the moment where someone presents with limited commercial interruption, it makes me feel better about that company. And right. I'm more now.
They're looking out for you.
Correct. Do I own a Rolex, even though Rolex presents the last hour of the U.S. Open commercial free? No, I don't. But would I be, I'll say it like this. If I were ever in the position of buying either a Rolex, a Tag, or whatever, all the, give me all the expensive watches.
Grand Seiko.
And better than that, right?
Something like that.
Bomber, Mercier, whatever my dad has, I have no idea. Like, I would be more inclined to go Rolex. So right. I do.
It does seem like there's an opportunity, and because the Red Zone is such a unique broadcast, to do some unique brand involvement in the broadcast without throwing it to commercial. And but at the same time, let me play devil's advocate here. What? So there's parts of every Sunday where nobody's in the Red Zone. So right, can we not send it to commercial then?
But guess
if it's
what
not
we get?
Red Zone time?
That's when we check in on the Cardinals and the Jags, who are dueling it out in Jacksonville at 3:05, and neither team has gotten a first down in an hour. That's when we get to check in on those games.
I know, but technically they should not be on the Red Zone channel. So, you know, if you're a purist.
Well,
just throw it to commercial.
The idea of Red Zone was not only showing the Red Zone. So this is where this is where
also
I really
commercials
want,
apparently. Yeah.
Well, this is where I also wanted y'all to listen to me. When everyone started celebrating that they were going to take Sunday Ticket off DirecTV, yet again, I was a prophet.
Right.
I don't know a lot of things, but I do know how these TV things work, and I knew full well as soon as they took it off DirecTV and took it to the masses that they were going to do the same thing that everybody else was. They were trying to avoid control. Guess what? When it was on DirecTV, DirecTV was trying to keep it as a customer-added value. You paid a bunch of money for it, but they didn't screw with it. And then you did have Siciliano, which wasn't great, but here we are.
Yeah. No, I mean, let's see how it goes. If we get some there's nothing wrong with some picture-in-picture action. You would be fine with picture-in-picture commercials when there's no one in the Red Zone. How about that? Would you be fine with that? Can you get behind that?
I could get behind that. My thought is, and
why not just do here's one, this the witching hour should be presented by, I think it is actually. I think Verizon presents the witching hour. But like this hour of Red Zone is presented to you by Geico or whatever, Chevy, whoever it is.
Even better, you can keep changing it as it goes on. How do we keep getting, and we always get it, how do we get soccer for the full 45 minutes? The banner, the entire ticker just keeps changing sponsors the entire time, and it sticks out because you see it. You're like, whoa, wait a second. Did that just change?
What they should do
that's cool.
is every time there's a score.
Maybe I will fly
time,
Riyadh Air.
Or whatever it ends up being. You know, I'll go buy some new Pumas.
Maybe Saudi's getting a bad rap.
Well, I think it'd be annoying, but what if every time somebody scored, they just changed the sponsor? All right, now let's boom. Oh, we have a score. All right.
Looks like that Lamar Jackson touchdown was brought to you by Geico.
Yes, there you go.
Beautiful.
I actually do think this would be interesting.
That would be too much.
I wonder if... So the biggest problem, and this is why we're fighting an uphill battle, beyond the fact that all these organizations have overpaid to have the NFL. Did y'all see the study that came out 2 weeks ago? You'll never guess, but it turns out advertising on the NFL during NFL games was like 40% more successful than any other live programming, including other live sports, whatnot.
What does that say about us?
Well, again, it's always we're the problem. But sometimes I like to point out, on this one specific one, I'm not the problem. You are all the problem. Because y'all sat there like, oh, this would be great. Now I can just have it on my YouTube TV. No.
All right. Well, okay. You've got how many TVs set up again, Jeffrey? I always lose count. How many TVs do you have set up at your house? Is it still set up the same way when you moved?
So when we moved... We now have three mounted on the wall on football Saturday and Sunday. We bring the fourth
in from the guest room.
Correct. Yeah. Bring it in.
And then, so Red Zone's on one of them, and then you have games on
the
other.
So historically, if the Giants are good and the Giants are playing, I am someone that when my team's playing, I don't like having Red Zone be TV1 because I think there's something about watching an entire game, getting the rhythm of the game, and knowing how the game's played out.
Right.
And so there will always be one on Red Zone, but now I am inclined, now that the Giants have sucked forever, I have put Red Zone on TV1 so that you avoid commercials. This is now making me be like, I'm just going to watch another game.
Wait, no, you'll have Red Zone on one of the channels, on one of your TVs.
I don't know, because now you can do enough mixes where I can actually just get enough game. Like you can
get your own, create your own.
For
buffet.
I think, though, this year, because I will not have YouTube TV, I do not think I can include... I think to watch all games that are on, I have to have at least one TV on DirecTV. because I don't think without YouTube TV and local channels, I don't think I can include the WREG or the WHBQ game in the box. Oh, I think you have to. I think they're separating feed, that. Yeah.
The problems you got. That's gonna deal.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Make sure you got batteries in the remotes for this week.
God, on Saturday, it was the first football Saturday in the new house with DirecTV. Oh, daddy was cooking. Oh, I was just back. Oh, it's phenomenal. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Pablo Torre might have uncovered something significant, although we'll find out whether or not anything happens from it. Discuss that. And we also have found out that while maybe Ohio State's not welcoming Dave Portnoy with open arms, there is a league that is saying we will do so. We'll tell you about that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.